I'm Roman Yossi of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Matt Duchesne of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Eustace Arros of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Ryan Johansson of the Nashville Predators.
You're listening to the Renegades of Puck
with Crazy Charlie.
Welcome to the Bunker. Welcome to the Renegades of Puck podcast. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonia. And before we get started on the no half step in hockey coverage, let me first direct you to our home website, renegadesofpuck.com. Once you go to renegadesofpuck.com, you'll learn everything you need to know about the show. And once you're good and educated, you can click on that merchandise tab. And right there, you're going to find our classic logo t-shirt, our pride logo t-shirt, all of our different special event t-shirts. Don't worry, all of those gimmicks you've come to know and love from the Renegades of Puck, well, they're certainly still available in the online store. Throw pillow, socks, wall art, bed sets, it doesn't matter to us. You can outfit your entire home and your entire body. As a matter of fact, we like to say that we've sold out so that you can buy in. Social media is of critical importance to this independent hockey operation, so we would appreciate a like, a subscription, a follow in any or all of the following different ways and platforms. On social media, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, very easy to find us. Just search Renegades of Puck. You can find us on YouTube in video format. You can find our behind-the-scenes live stream on Twitch. That's where you'll see if there's any mistakes, if there ever are any second takes. You'll catch them live, and you'll also get the information earlier than any other platform. All of our different audio platforms are available to you to download our podcast. Stitcher, Spotify, Google, Amazon, just to name a couple of different areas where you can find the Renegades of Puck podcast. So we sure would appreciate if you would continue clicking, downloading, and listening to the podcast in audio form. Over 1 million downloads last year, and looking forward to far surpassing those numbers in the year 2023. So stick taps, love, and respect to each and every one of you for helping and supporting. It doesn't take you but a second, doesn't cost you a thing, but it goes a long way to helping the Renegades of Puck in this independent hockey operation. Venmo, that's how you can become a partner of the show or just make a donation. Please search Renegades of Puck on Venmo or scan the QR code that is currently on your screen. Any donation makes a big difference to the Renegades of Puck. Thanks to generous Renegades like you, you can see the difference here in the technology, the quality, and the superiority between season one and season two of coverage from the Bunker. New camera, new lighting, new microphone. We sure are proud to have all of these different upgrades. Thank you so much. We couldn't have done it without your support. Now, I know it's time for the no half step in hockey coverage, but hang on a second. Now, it's time for me to deliver the goods, so let's get to the no half step in hockey coverage. Time for operation number 709. That's right, operation number 709, show 709 for the Renegades of Puck. And at this moment in hockey history, the Nashville Predators currently find themselves going into the All-Star break in fifth place in the Central Division after 48 games played. They have a record of 24-18-6. 54 points has them 1 point behind the fourth place Colorado Avalanche and 2 points behind the third place Minnesota Wild and an automatic qualifying playoff spot in the Central Division. So if we take a look at the Central Division from the top down, now reminder, a couple of these teams still have games to play before the All-Star break, so the standings will shift by the All-Star game. The Dallas Stars currently in first place with 65 points. The Winnipeg Jets in second place with 63 points. Minnesota's at 56, Colorado 55, Nashville 54. And then suddenly a drop-off. The St. Louis Blues have been struggling as of later, now 5 points behind the Nashville Predators at 49 points overall. Arizona's at 37, and Chicago is at 34 there in the basement of the Central Division. Nashville Predators have played 48 games so far in the season. They have a home record of 14-7-3. When the schedule resumes, that's where the Nashville Predators will pick the action back up. It will be on February the 7th, and it will be versus the Vegas Golden Knights. Then the Nashville Predators' next game after that will be on the 11th of February against the Philadelphia Flyers. So in the next 2 weeks, the Nashville Predators will only play a total of 2 games. On the 13th of February, the Nashville Predators will be back home at Bridgestone Arena to take on the Arizona Coyotes, and then on the 16th, they'll be home against the Boston Bruins. The 18th, they'll welcome in the Florida Panthers. Now, this will be the second of 3 meetings between the Preds and the Vegas Golden Knights on this season. It was on New Year's Eve when the Renegades of Puck went and infiltrated Vegas. It was back on 12/31 when the Preds fell 5-4 in overtime. Philip Forsberg got the hat trick in that game. Vegas featured five different individual goal scorers. Lankinen took the loss for the Nashville Predators, but still put up a very good performance. 27 out of 32 overall. Numbers don't look so good, but overall, he did play a very good game. These two teams won't meet again until April the 4th. That's when Vegas will be back here in Nashville at Bridgestone Arena for the final regular season meeting between these two Western Conference rivals. The Vegas Golden Knights have two games to go before they reach the All-Star break, but at this exact moment, their record of 29-17-3, 61 points, has them tied for first in the Pacific Division with the Seattle Kraken. On the road, they have a record of 15-4-3, a goal differential of plus 16. Now, let's go back and take a look at their most recent stretch of hockey. Let's go back five games. It was on the 16th of January. It was a 4-0 loss versus Dallas. On the 19th of January, 3-2 loss versus the Detroit Red Wings. On the 21st, a 6-2 win versus Washington. On the 22nd of January, 4-1 loss at the Arizona Coyotes. And most recently on the 24th, a 3-2 overtime loss at the New Jersey Devils. For the Nashville Predators, now we do have injuries to talk about. Carrier is going to be out 4 to 6 weeks, listed as an upper body injury. Did not return for the second period the other night against the Winnipeg Jets after having a fight early in the first period. Mark Borowiecki still on injured reserve. No timetable for his return. Taking a look inside the NHL matchups and the rankings as they stand right now. And reminder, Vegas has two more games before facing off against the Nashville Predators. But goals for 3.16, 15th. In the NHL for the Vegas Golden Knights, while the Nashville Predators are 26th rated in the league in this statistical metric at 2.81 goals per game. Goals against 2.92 for the Preds is 13th, 2.88 given up per game is 12th best in the NHL, and that is the Vegas Golden Knights. In the shots for category, Vegas ahead of the Preds, 13th best in the NHL, generating 32.3 shots per game on the net, while the Preds only generating 31.4 shots on net per game. That's good for 18th in the NHL. In the shots against category, the Nashville Predators are 29th in the league. They're giving up 34.5 shots per game. It's a good thing they have a Vezina caliber goaltender in net, because that is an unworldly amount of shots against. Again, 34.5 per game. While the Vegas Golden Knights are giving up 30.2 per game, that is good for 11th in the NHL. Special teams power play favors Vegas Golden Knights. 12th best in the league, 31 out of 129, 24% conversion rate. That's a really, really good number right there. The Preds are at 16.7% conversion rate, 27th overall in the NHL, 26 conversions out of 156 opportunities. Now, when it comes to penalty kill, the Preds are leading in this metric, 14th in the NHL. They've given up 33 power play goals against, and their kill rate is 80.5%. Vegas is 17th in the NHL in PK, 26 power play goals against, and they have a kill rate of 78.5%. Taking a look at the top five scorers from each team and the goaltending numbers, the individual statistical categories. First, let's take a look at the visiting team, the Vegas Golden Knights. Stevenson leads the Knights in scoring, 11 goals, 32 assists for 43 points. Stone at 17 goals and 21 assists for 38 points. Eichel, 15 and 19 for 34. Carlson, 11 goals, 22 assists for 33 points. And Riley Smith, 18 goals, paces the Vegas Golden Knights. 14 assists equals 32 points. In net, Thompson, 19, 13, and 2, a 9-1-2 save percentage, 2.71 goals against average. Those are impressive numbers on the season. Take a look at the home team side of individual scores and stats. Philip Forsberg leads the team in goals with 19. When you add 22 assists to that, that equals 41 points, and that is tied for the team lead with the captain, Roman Josi, who breaks down as this way, 12 goals and 29 assists for 41 points. Duchesne is at 14 goals now, 24 assists on the season, 38 points. Mikael Granlund, 6 goals and 22 assists for 28 points. And Ryan Johansson, 11 goals and 14 assists for 25 points. In net, UC Saros, 19, 13, and 5, a 920 save percentage, 2.74 goals against average. These two netminders in this matchup, very, very close and very even statistically. So looking forward to this matchup for the Nashville Predators as they take on the Vegas Golden Knights for the second of three times during the regular season matchup.
Hockey players are as unique as the game itself, and your uniform should be tailored to fit you. Rebirth Sports is your sports apparel tailor. From shells, bags, warm-ups, hats, hoodies, branding, and more, let Rebirth Sports be your custom hockey tailor.
And don't forget to tell them they do more than just hockey.
Rebirth Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Rebirth Sport, a match made in hockey.
It's now time for the Rebirth Sports full game recap. We go all the way back to January 26th, the year 2023, when the Nashville Predators were welcoming in the New Jersey Devils to Bridgestone Arena. John Hines deploys his lines in the following way. Forsberg, Glass, Duchesne, Niederreiter, Johansson, and Granlund make up your second line. Smith, Parsonen, and Sissons make up your third line. Trenton, Novak, and Janot. Your defensive pairings, McDonough and Yossi Ekholm and Carrier. Gravel in with Fabro. Of course, we just talked about Carrier going to be out 4 to 6 weeks injured in the last game against Winnipeg. UC Soros gets the start in net, and let's just get right to it. We're only 21 seconds into this brand new hockey game, and UC Soros has already come out with a save on Severinsen, and it's going to be the first shot on goal of the game. 3:11 into the first, Soros comes with a save on Hischier. Traffic was kept to the outside, an easy stop and look for the netminder of the Nashville Predators. 5:17, Blackwood's in the game, engaged with a save on Fabro, plus Parsonen's rebound jam. A scrum after the whistle, showing some emotion between these interconference rivals here early in the first period. 5:39 into the first, Saros comes up with a save on Pilat at close range on a low high play pass from below the goal line. A really, really slick pass from below the goal line. 6:54, Blackwood comes up with a save on Janot off the rush. 7:39, Smith for New Jersey is off to the box. 2 minutes for high sticking. Philip Forsberg would hit the post. Nashville Predators would generate incredible zone time and great possession, but they were unable to beat Blackwood. 10:19, just after the PK, Bratt gets New Jersey on the board with his 19th goal of the season. He fakes the clapper. He opens up Soros, delays just enough to get it through the five hole. The Devils have a 1-0 lead at Bridgestone Arena. 10:37 into the first period. Blackwood off to the box. No, he's not actually off to the box. He's getting a penalty 2 minutes for tripping on Niederreiter's drive to the net. Someone would be taking that time in the box. The Nashville Predators would be going on the power play, though. Blackwood would have to stay in as punishment and stop the Nashville Predators. He would come up with a big save on Duchesne from the slot, but he would not be able to stop Glass, who scores his 7th goal of the season. It was Tommy Novak taking the shot from out high, and Glass jams till it goes into the net. Incredible play and effort to see here by Glass out there on the power play. 1-1 hockey game in the first period. 13:17 in the first period. Blackwood comes up with a save on Luzon off of the rush at 15:57. Shigrovich comes up with his 11th goal of the season with a wrist shot from the left circle off of Hughes' sick feed. The Devils now have a 2-1 lead over the Nashville Predators at Bridgestone Arena, but it is going to be Cole Smith at 16:20 immediately responding, making the game 2-2 on his second goal of the season. It was just an absolute perfect deflection with the shaft of the stick. While setting the screen in front of Blackwood, Parsonen was the one who released the shot that was able to be deflected in by Cole Smith. Now Cole Smith's second goal of the season, 19:53 into the first period. Blackwood has to come up with a save on Johansson on the breakaway with the end of the first period. Nashville is out shooting New Jersey 22-8. 22 shots on goal for the Nashville Predators in the first period. The game itself is tied at 2 apiece. Straight up into the second period, just 33 seconds, and Soros coming up with a save on Pilat. He squeezed the arm and held on to this one. 3:01, UC Soros back to work, coming up with another big save, but at 4:06, Hughes would beat Soros with his 31st goal of the season. It was a loose puck. It hit the traffic in front and finds Hughes wide open at the top of the crease. He deposits that puck into the back of the net for the Devils to pick up a 3-2 lead. Third time in this game now, the Devils have been ahead by one. 6:42 of the second period, Bastion hits the crossbar. 8:11, Glass off the box, 2 minutes for interference. UC Soros has to come up with a big save on Pilat's one timer, and then a few seconds later, a save on Mercer from straight away in the slot. Two really big back-to-back saves here by UC Soros. 11:21 of the second period, Blackwood comes up with a save on Luzon. At 11:33, it's Mikhail Granlund's 6th goal of the season. Ties the game up at 3 apiece. It was Ryan Johansson who turned the puck over along the half while he fires the puck on net. Mikhail Granlund directs the puck onto the net, and then he directs it with his skate and then puts it in off of the blade of his stick. Truly incredible hand-eye coordination right here by Mikhail Granlund. You had to see the super slow-mo reverse angle replay to truly appreciate and understand all of the nuance of this goal. Mikhail Granlund, 6th goal of the season, ties the game up at 3 apiece. Another hard-working, greasy jam goal for the Nashville Predators. 13:23 over the second period. Blackwood comes with a save on Janot at close range. 16:19, Soros, a save on Hamilton's long shot at 18:27. Soros comes up with a save on Tatar. We go to the second intermission with this game tied up at 3 apiece. The Nashville Predators out shooting the New Jersey Devils 32-18. So each team 10 shots on goal in the second period. 48 seconds into the third period, UC Soros comes up with a save right here. Then 3:23 into the third period, UC Soros comes with a save on Heischer. 5:22 of the third period, Cole Smith off the box. 2 minutes for high sticking. Now, the Smith on each team has picked up a minor in this game for high sticking. Blackwood comes up with a save on Janot's breakaway shorthanded, but then UC Soros has to go to work, and it is an intense workload. He comes up with the first big initial save on Hughes, then has to follow it up with four more saves throughout this power play by New Jersey. Soros holding strong, holding the line. This game is so intense. We are headed to the back of the sheet. That's where we find it, 8:49 of the third period. Matt Duchesne's got his 14th goal of the season. He was initially stopped off of the rush by Blackwood, followed his own shot to the net, jam with the backhand finish. Matt Duchesne's 14th goal of the season gives the Nashville Predators a 4-3 lead in the third period. 13:24 of the third, Soros comes up with a save on Graves. New Jersey pushing hard, really generating some good offensive zone time at this point. 14:58, Soros comes up with a save on Severson. 15:41, Blackwood comes up with a save on Glass off of the rush. At 16:05, Forsberg's 19th goal of the season gives the Preds a 5-3 lead in the third period. It was Matt Duchesne's pass and the spinning pass reception by Forsberg in the neutral zone that leads to the partial breakaway. So Duchesne springs a partial breakaway. Forsberg finishes with the no-doubter, giving the Preds a 5-3 lead and a very, very important goal. 16:23 of the third period, Soros comes up with a save on Redderland. At 16:36, Soros comes up with a save on Holla two times on the doorstep, former Nashville Predator. Holla 17:46 in the 6-on-5 scenario, and it was insane out there. Mercer's 11th goal of the season makes it 5-4 now in favor of the Nashville Predators. Back to a one-goal game. It was an absolute scramble, and I think it was the fourth attempt at the net before they could get it past UC Soros. Even though UC Soros was down, out, and out of position, he was still somehow hanging into the play until this final shot, of course. 5-4 game now with just a couple minutes to go. Back to the 6-on-5 scenario. Forsberg's hitting the post, 19:52. Tanner Janot's getting the empty net goal, his fifth goal of the season. Two goals now, two games, and that gives the Preds a 6-4 lead, and that would be your final score. 41-40 in shots on goal. The Nashville Predators outshoot the New Jersey Devils. So you had 10 goals and 81 total shots on goal. The home team comes back from down by a goal three times. New Jersey scores one late to make it interesting. That's a fantastic interconference hockey game at Bridgestone Arena tonight. You typically do not see games that are that high spirited, that highly competitive when East meets West at this time of the year, especially with the Nashville Predators getting ready to head off to the All-Star break. John Hines said it before going into this game. 2-0 was really good, but 3-0 to close out this homestand, or at least close out this portion of the homestand going into the All-Star break, would be great. And that's exactly what the Nashville Predators did. They came up with an impressive victory, coming back from down a goal three different times against the Devils and ultimately winning this game 6-4. The Nashville Predators certainly took themselves out of their own comfort zone. Having to score six goals to win a game is not something that they've had to do very many times this season. They're used to playing lower score games than this, and when they do find success, it's usually because UC Soros is able to keep their opponent to three at the very most. Overcoming four goals, that's a lot for this Nashville Predators team, and they go 3-0. We're going to have a whole lot more to talk about when it comes to that. We've got the numbers, we've got the stats, we've got the box score, we've got the analysis, the opinions, and the Renegades of Puck. Sean C. Smith will be coming up here in just a couple of minutes. That was the Rebirth Sports full game recap. An impressive game it was. Lots of fun to cover this one. New Jersey Devils, a really, really good young team with some incredible young players. And Hughes plays in New Jersey, plays right there in the top TV market in the country, needs to have a lot more talk about him, the same way they talk about McDavid, the same way they talk about McKinnon. They need to start talking about Jack Hughes, because hey, if you watch the way he can take over and dominate and control a shift and an individual play and the otherworldly skill that he has, man, what a treat to get to watch him tonight here in Nashville at Bridgestone Arena. That was Rebirth Sports full game recap. We'll be back with the Renegades of Puck and full analysis coming up in just a moment.
Hello. I'm Tracy, owner-operator of Strong Style Fitness. And that's me and my training assistant, Rizzo. And we are here to bring you fitness that meets you where you are by offering circuit classes, bar-inspired classes, Tabata workouts, boot camps, guided stretching, and more, all taught by a certified personal trainer, me. To learn more, go to our website, strongstylefit.com. Subscribe on YouTube at Strong Style Fitness. Follow on social media at Strong Style Fit. But most importantly, let's get you moving. It doesn't matter if it's your first workout or you've been doing it for years. Strong Style Fitness has the workout that meets you on your journey and helps you along the path to a happier, healthier life. I understand where you've been, what you were going through, and where you were going, and I want to take you there. We'll see you on the mat. Mwah.
UC Soros, 35 of 39 in this game. And you know what? It was enough to earn the 2 points. Was it his best performance of the year? Absolutely not. But when it came to making five saves on that penalty kill, when it came to being there at the right moment at the end of the game, UC Soros stood tall enough to get the Nashville Predators this victory. They didn't have to rely on him solely to secure these 2 points. So for UC Soros now, off to the All-Star festivities. We wish him the best of luck. He gets a little bit of extra rest before heading off to All-Star weekend, as the rest of the Nashville Predators will do, because the rest of the league has a couple of more days to play. As a matter of fact, the league doesn't shut down until next Wednesday, and the Nashville Predators are already done and off the ice. They'll get that 5-day break before the rest of the league gets started. So for UC Soros, he picks up the victory. His 19th of the season, a 920 save percentage, 2.74 goals against average. That's outstanding. And we're going to have a where we are in the season recap coming up here in a couple of days during the All-Star break. And Mastrodamus going to be back in the trenches. He's going to talk about UC Soros to sum up his season. So you'll want to tune in to the next episode for sure as we welcome Mosh back into the trenches. Moving on with the analysis of this game, though, the offense, it was there. 6 goals. This is a team that averages 2.81 goals per game. That's 26th in the NHL. Scoring 6 tonight. Yes, empty netter pads it, makes it look a little bit better. But scoring 6 tonight and 6 different scores, and all 6 of those different scores, all forwards. Great job by the Nashville Predators. They came through tonight, and it was an impressive overall effort. Again, down 3 different times by a goal, responding, coming back all 3 times. I want to highlight, single out a couple of different players. Parsonen, again, just absolutely consistent, and he's been outstanding since he's coming up here. He's another example for all of the people who continuously complain that John Hines cannot develop youth. Parsonen now doing special things. He's only the 4th Nashville Predator in history to get to 20-plus points as a rookie. You know, he's right up there with Forsberg. He's right up there with Radulov. I forgot the 4th name. I wish I hadn't forgotten that, but I forgot to write that down. So Parsonen's doing great things. So Glass, Parsonen, we're talking about them an awful lot when it comes to recent stretches of hockey, and John Hines is putting them in positions to succeed. Glass is on the second line. Parsonen could easily be back on the second line or up on the first line if needed to be. So Glass is doing great. Parsonen is doing great, and getting to 20 points as quickly as he has is very incredible. He's a great all-round hockey player. I've just a lot of praise for Parsonen as of late because he's earned it. He deserves it, and he's a very, very good, strong hockey player on the puck, and the Preds are absolutely need that. As he gets more confidence, more experience, and you hear Chris Mason talking about that exact concept a lot on the broadcast, he is going to be a very, very difficult player to go up against. Now, unfortunately, this is not good news, and this is a tough thing to talk about. Carrier, his injury, 4 to 6 weeks, taking the All-Star break into account, that means you can lower that down to 3 to 5 weeks. That's still, we're talking about the end of February, maybe not until a week into March being back. That means, you know, one of the Nashville Predators' top 4 defensemen is going to be out until only about a month to go in the season. Carrier was playing really good hockey. He and Ekholm were becoming a really solid lockdown pair together, and this is going to be tough, especially the way he went out. Listen, instinct, hockey players are going to respond. It was a clean hit that he was responding to, but he was responding and he was sticking up for one of his teammates. He took on an opponent in a fight that he shouldn't have, and he suffered an injury, and this is not something I'm going to criticize him for getting into that fight. He was doing in the moment what he thought was exactly the right thing, what honestly about 95% of hockey players would do, even when it's a clean hit. And I know that's something that we have talked about plenty of times before, that players in the league today overreact to big clean hits. This was one of those situations, but everyone understands it. It's extremely unfortunate that Carrier, who was playing some really good hockey for this Preds team, was really developing very nicely. Again, Carrier, a young defenseman, has been developed since John Hines has been here. Just another thing you need to take a look at. There's a lot of people that will never be satisfied with what John Hines does behind the bench as a National Predators coach. But right now, he's got them just 2 points out of an automatic playoff spot in the Central Division, and he's got them 6 games over .500 going in the All-Star break, and he also has them sweeping 3 playoff teams in a row, a second-place team, and a third-place team. So the National Predators and John Hines are doing more things than the very loud vocal minority on the internet seems to be talking about. 3-0 since the team meeting. Listen, the team, they closed the doors, they called themselves out, and hopefully they looked in the mirror. It's absolutely what they needed to do. It's something we had talked about several times here on this show, and since that meeting, LA, Winnipeg, New Jersey, 3 playoff teams, 3 victories for the Nashville Predators. That means they're preventing teams ahead of them in the standings in the Western Conference in LA and Winnipeg from picking up additional points against the Nashville Predators. So this past week and going into the All-Star break, the Preds should have their heads held high. They should have a lot of confidence. They find themselves in a very good position, the best spot they've been in the standings in quite some time. 5th place doesn't sound that great, but being only 2 points out of 3rd place, 1 point out of 4th place, and starting to put a little cushion and separation between St. Louis and Arizona, this is all good momentum for the Nashville Predators. So going into the All-Star break, they should feel really good. Now, tough road still to go. It's going to be a hell of a run these final 30-plus games of the season for the Nashville Predators. But 3-0 since the team meeting, 3 very big victories, 3 very good teams came to Bridgestone Arena. The Nashville Predators look incredibly good in stretches of these games. The third period of the LA Kings game, quite a bit against the Winnipeg Jets. They were the better team for that entire game. And then against New Jersey, they were the better team for about 50 minutes of this game in total. Sean C. Smith is going to pick things up right in that exact spot right there. He also wants to talk about everything that's happened with this team since the team meeting. So I kind of teed things up for him right there. You can find his work at A to Z Sports. You can find him on Twitter at SCSNSH, and you can watch him right here on Renegades of Puck TV. He's the one and only Sean C. Smith.
Thanks, Charlie. Hey, Renegades, it's Sean Smith. We're going to talk about tonight's big win over the New Jersey Devils. We're not going to get into specifics. Charlie's already given you a full recap of the game, but here's what I want to talk about. You know, the Predators had a huge, huge, huge team meeting. Coaches called it, players led it on Saturday. As a result, the team kind of made some admissions, took some accountability, all the leaders on the team, the members of the leadership committee, captains, assistant captains, associate captains, that entire crew, anybody that has a voice on the team as far as leadership goes, stood up and said something. Now, my site mate Alex Doherty here at A to Z Sports wrote about that meeting, what the players were willing to tell him, but not much other information was available. Although it seemed like that once those players took accountability, the team kind of made a recommitment to playing the games the way they needed to play. That loss in St. Louis, it was a really, really big turning point for the team. So what ends up happening, of course, is you have a win Saturday, and then the players had 2 big games this week, Tuesday and Thursday night, against teams that were at the tops of their respective divisions. Talking about the Winnipeg Jets on Tuesday and the New Jersey Devils tonight. Now, what's interesting about that is there's been a lot of criticism levied at this team over the season that they can't beat good teams. And, of course, those good teams are the teams that year after year, when the Predators are able to squeak into the playoffs, they get bounced in the first round by those teams that end up going pretty deep into the playoffs. Last season, Colorado Avalanche ended up winning the Stanley Cup, and that's who took them out in 4 games. Now, here's the thing. The Predators, at this point in the season, are going to have to scratch and claw their way into the playoffs. And if they're going to scratch and claw their way into the playoffs, they've got to be able to win against good teams, because you're going to go up against one of the top seeds in that first round. Now, with these 2 games against these top teams, Winnipeg and New Jersey, which feels a little weird saying that, but still, these 2 top teams, Winnipeg and New Jersey, this was an opportunity for the Predators to take that momentum from their team meeting and their win on Saturday to say, hey, we can play and beat good teams too, and give everybody a little bit of hope that maybe if they're able to make it to the playoffs, they can make a little bit of noise and not get bounced in the first round. And what a response. Big win on Tuesday over Winnipeg, even bigger win tonight over the New Jersey Devils. And it seems like, you know, looking at the article I wrote earlier this week, that the Predators had a lot to prove over these last 2 games. I think they've done a lot of proving. Now, does that mean they're a playoff team? No, they're not in a playoff spot right now. The team's well aware of that. Coach John Hines spoke about that after the game tonight. They're not in a good place. They're in a better place than they were, but they need to keep working to get closer to where they need to be. He says you'd rather be hot coming down the end of the season, down that home stretch, than you would at the beginning of the season. He said last season they started off kind of hot, then had to scratch and claw, barely made it in the playoffs, limped into the playoffs, literally, and then got booted pretty quick. So here's the thing. I think the Predators have done an excellent job responding, the team, the leaders on the team taking accountability. And what was most interesting tonight was question was asked to Roman Josi, captain of the team, who it was, you know, what were some words that were shared? And he said that you'd want to talk to Johansson. Johansson said the thing that was the best. And, of course, he wouldn't share what that was. Matt Duchene was asked if Johansson made a big impact in that meeting, and he, of course, agreed. And when asked what it was that Johansson said, he said, that's for us to worry about. That's a thing for us. You guys don't need to worry about it. He was laughing when he said it. But then even Coach John Hines, when asked about it, agreed that Ryan Johansson and his comments and what he said, it was the right thing at the right time, really rallied the team, motivated the team, and you see the results over the past few games. So, Charlie, Renegades, tell you what, if you're going to go into an All-Star break, this is the way to go. Riding high, a couple of big wins against good teams. All you got to hope is that when they come back from a long break, they perform better than they usually do after a break, which isn't very good. So keep your fingers crossed. Enjoy the break. Renegades, it's good to see you. Charlie, let's send it back over to you.
The digital environment can be quite intimidating, time-consuming, and cumbersome, especially with all those other areas that need attention at your business. And that's why Stripe Digital Solutions is here to help. I know, because that's exactly what Stripe Digital Solutions did for me and the Renegades of Puck. From designing my home website and helping me create my merchandise to special event posters, brand building, and social media management. But it's not just that. It's so much more. Stripe Digital Solutions has helped me every step of the way. From startup to full-time operation, Stripe Digital Solutions has been there to assist and advise every single step of the journey. In today's fast-paced world, the path to success is having a strong digital partner, and nobody is better in the trenches than Brandy and Stripe Digital Solutions. Get the solution before it's even a problem with Stripe Digital Solutions. The Nashville Predators in this game, quite a bit to report on. 6 total goals scored in this game by the Nashville Predators. 6 different goal scorers. All of those goal scorers are forwards. I'm just going to go ahead and give you their names because they all deserve the recognition for this victory. Matt Duchene, Philip Forsberg, Cody Glass, Mikhail Granlund, Tanner Janot with the empty net goal, and Cole Smith scores again, his second goal now of the season. When it comes to assists, Sissons and Parsonen each with 2 assists in this game. Tommy Novak picks up an assist. Ryan Johansson assists. Matt Duchene picks up an assist, and Roman Josi picks up an assist in this game as well. Shots on goal, Matt Duchene and Philip Forsberg at 5 apiece. At 4, Tanner Janot. Also, Gravel had 4 shots on net in this game. When it comes to blocked shots, Luzon had 4 blocked shots. Gravel had 3 blocked shots. Out of the forward grouping, there not very many blocked shots sniped for the Nashville Predators. Tanner Janot led the team in the physical category of hits, qualified for 6 in this game. And just a further commentary on that, not only did he have 6 hits in this game, you can tell now that he has gotten the stress of scoring a goal off of his back, he seemed a lot more Tanner Janot-like out there. He was physically imposing, he was intimidating, and he did challenge the entire New Jersey Devils bench at one point in time. That's the Tanner Janot we all came to fall in love with last season as a rookie in the NHL. Getting that goal the other night, now getting an empty net goal, challenging the Devils bench, looking for someone to scrap with all night, and leading the team in hits with 6. All good, trending upward signs for Tanner Janot. Now he gets to relieve some stress, take the All-Star break, come back fresh, mentally, physically, spiritually, ready to make that run. If Tanner Janot heats up, the Nashville Predators could find themselves in a very good spot here come down the stretch of the season. So Janot leads the team in hits with 6. Matt Duchene, he gets the game-winning goal, and he factors in on the Forsberg goal. 20 total minutes skated in this game. The only forward to reach 20 minutes in this game. On the defensive side of things, the captain, Roman Josi, 26.05. But McDonagh, again, and the reason we talk about McDonough's ice time so much is because he was expected to be second possibly third pair defenseman when he was brought in, and he was expected to help with the new young defenseman on this team and be a veteran with a lot of experience. 23-18 after following up what he did just the other night when Carey went out of that game injury. McDonough has truly been something incredible. I followed him and I've covered him and I've tracked his entire career. And right now with the Nashville Predators, he's far from his prime, but it's hard to tell. He's as smooth as he's ever been, and he is professional as can possibly be out there. Having Ryan McDonough on this Nashville Predators blue line is a real, real treat, night in and night out. I'm glad I get a chance to cover him. And in net, UC Saros, 35 out of 39. Not the best performance that he had on the season, but he did enough. He secured the victory, and he hits out of this one now 19 victories on the season. That's going to do it for the box score. Brian Baston's out of the box tonight. He'll be back in the trenches very soon. He'll be back in for the midseason recap. As a matter of fact, before we throw it to the next break, the midseason recap coming up, we're going to wait until the league gets closer to shutting down for All-Star Weekend, but we are going to have confirmed. Mastrodamus will be back in to talk about UC Soros, Lankinen, and the emergence of Askarov, not just at the NHL level, but what he's doing in Milwaukee. We, of course, will have Sean C. Smith with his analysis. Brian Baston will be here and covering the numbers and the analytics. Boyd is going to be back from Penalty Box Radio. He's got a statement. And Jeff Middleton going to be making his debut here in the bunker and in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck. Hard Minutes with Middleton, looking forward to featuring that segment down the stretch. Jeff is jumping in the trenches. He is young. He is brash. He is extremely talented. And he has the exact disposition that the Renegades of Puck are looking for. We're glad to welcome him in for playoff stretch run coverage after the All-Star break. But he'll be jumping in to give a big picture summary and introduce himself to the Renegades Puck coming up here soon. We've got one more break to go, and then we'll come back. We'll close it up, and we'll say goodbye to you for the All-Star break. Be right back.
I'm Crazy Charlie Sonnier, captain of the Renegades of Puck. I'm also tired of the cold, tired of the dark, and tired of being landlocked. I'm also willing to bet that I'm not the only one who could use some sun, fun, and time in paradise with friends. That's exactly why I called our great friend Pete Weber. He told me, call Ships and Trips Travel, and now we're all going to Mexico. That's right, Renegades of Puck, July 15th to the 20th of 2023. Dreams Vallarta Resort in Puerto Vallarta is the destination to hang with Pete Weber in paradise. To join Pete and the Renegades of Puck in Puerto Vallarta, go to www.shipsandtripstravel.com. That's shipsandtripstravel.com, and just click on the ROP on vacation tab. Don't stay landlocked. Join the Renegades of Puck in paradise, July 15th to the 20th, 2023 in Puerto Vallarta. Pete Weber, the Renegades of Puck, and you. It's time to ditch those skates for flip-flops and fun in the sun.
It's so good to see Pete Weber back at the rink. Good to see Pete back calling games. Great to see Pete back in much better health and better spirits. Pete's so much happier when he's on the mic and when he's calling games. I know how much he was not enjoying what was going on, and it's great to have him back, and I can't wait. I hope you guys join us in Mexico. Of course, it's still a couple of months away, but listen, get yourself registered. It's a limited amount of rooms available on the trip, so get yourself registered. You just saw the commercial, Ships and Trips Travel. I had a conversation with Ships and Trips just the other afternoon. Great people. Love those guys, and please join us in Mexico. It's going to be so much fun. We'll have other announcements coming up here real soon. I already mentioned to you and kind of previewed the lineup coming up. We'll have a big picture looking at everything from the ownership to the general manager, the coaches, to the players, to the system itself. And we'll be bringing in Renegades from every corner of the great hockey universe. So we'll appreciate having each and every one of them in. Coming up, I have Spartans action. I'll be back at the Gary Force Acura Ice Arena. Nashville Spartans are back in action. USPHL hockey action. I'll be calling four games coming up this weekend. And at the end of the weekend, the Renegades of Puck Hockey Club make their debut. It is the first game in team history. It will be the first game in league history. I cannot wait. 13 skaters are the first roster of the Renegades of Puck. You'll be hearing so much more about the team. I'll be bringing you content. I'll get some photos from the game and a whole lot more. So we are so incredibly excited to be taking the ice. I'll be finally leading my squad onto the ice, and we'll be taking on the Mighty Drunks. That's how you kick off a new league, and that's how you start a new team. The team I won 6 Stanley kegs with is now the team I will line up and take the opening face-off against as I lead my brand new expansion team onto the ice at the Gary Force Acura Ice Arena in Nolensville, Tennessee, Sunday night, 8 p.m. local time. Come on out, get yourself a tall, and enjoy some good hockey. Looking forward to leading the Renegades of Puck in battle. That's going to do it for this episode of Renegades of Puck TV. Operation number 709 is in the books. We sure do appreciate each and every one of you for taking the time, for checking us out on social media, for following along and watching the videos and listening to the podcast. And we sure do especially want to give a special stick taps love and respect to Full Press NHL. The Full Press Predators podcast is doing incredible. That is the platform we have split off and have been working with and coinciding with, and we have done some great work with them. Again, over 1 million downloads, replays, and interactions through the Full Press Coverage Network in 2022. And now in 2023, we are already off to an incredible start, and we are looking forward to our partnership and content creation being even bigger and better than it has been so far. Stick taps to you guys. Are sure to appreciate all of the hard work you guys are putting in the office. Most importantly, before we head out for the All-Star break, stick taps love and respect to each and every one of you Renegades out there. I cannot thank you enough for taking the time. I could go through all of the different metrics. Our YouTube page has just hit another milestone. And of course, we are always looking for more subscribers. We're always looking for more viewers because we believe we can build this thing to something bigger and better than anything else that's out there. So we just hit another milestone when it comes to our YouTube page. And we sure do appreciate each and every one of you for subscribing. When it comes to the podcast and it comes to the audio version of it, we are very close to possibly by the end of January hitting our biggest single month in downloads and replays ever. But we still got to do work, Renegades. We're not there. We can't coast on this. And the All-Star break is actually coming at a bad time. I'd love to be in the trenches doing more shows. So we are close to, again, some more significant milestones. Our social media is doing good. Everything is trending in a positive direction. And that is all because of you guys. Thank you so much. I am so, so appreciative and so happy. And once we get the hockey team up and running, then truly my vision for the Renegades of Puck will at least be at the starting blocks. You thought I was going to say it was going to be complete and finished. No, my good Renegades. We have many, many more things to accomplish and many more things to do. But we have built a bedrock of a foundation over the last year, and it's something that we can build the highest skyscraper anyone's ever seen on top of. And I can't wait for each and every one of you to be a part of that with me. Stick taps, love, and respect.